No, it's okay, guys. Guys can sit wherever they want. Sorry. Guys can hear me in the back? Okay. The Navi bemoans the fact that Tzion, he, Daresh, ain't law. That Tzion, Rishalayim, are left all alone. And no one's thinking about it. No one's talking about it. No one's seeking out the Shalom of Tzion, Rishalayim. So the Gemara comments in Masech Rosh Hashanah, Masech Sukkah, Tzion, Daresh, ain't law, Mechlal, Deboi, Drishra. You see from here that this attitude of not being Daresh for Tzion, not thinking about Rishalayim, is not a good thing. The Navi is speaking in negative terms, critiquing those who have that attitude. Tzion he derish and lemichal debay derish. It's supposed to be derish tzion. It's supposed to think about it. It's supposed to care about it. It's supposed to worry about it. So the Gemara tells us that this is a halachic requirement. This is a halachic imperative that we have to do certain things to keep alive the memory of Yerushalayim. Even though we live in a time of Churban, that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, that Chacham Shabbai Sador realized that in order to keep this alive, we have to institute a whole series of different dinim derabanan to make sure that people will be derish tzion. So the Gemara explains to us that these dinim derabanan that were all instituted for the same basic idea of keeping Yerushalayim alive in our hearts, they're really different components, api halacha, different parts of these din derabanan. So on the one hand, we find certain mitzvahs that Chazal Mesaken that are zeich lemikdash. There are activities that we do today that really, me'ikar adin, we don't have to do anymore. Me'ikar adin, we're not really binding on us anymore. But nevertheless, we do them anyway, because since these mitzvahs, one noy, bezman shebeis hamikdash hakayim, we want to remember and keep alive, keep the flame alive of the beis hamikdash. So we do certain mitzvahs derabanan bezman hazeh, even though they are one time with their isos, but bezman hazeh, they're only derabanan because they're lacking the beis hamikdash. So one of the examples, the most famous example, which is actually the original context of the sugya, was lulav kol shiva, the fact that we shake a lulav the entire week of sukkis, that's not a din min haTorah. The din derais is only on the first day, b'yom harishon, but mid derabanan, chazal mesaken, al tzeh zeichel hamikdash. Then the Gemara has other dinim that are also instituted zeichel hamikdash. The Gemara Maseches Menachos Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph quotes a machlokes Amoraim with the Sfiras Omer bezman hazeh was also instituted alt zeichel hamikdash. Then the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim and Arbei Pesachim that the fact that we do Kairach and a little Hasei there, so even according to Hillel wouldn't really do Kairach bezman hazeh, because the only time you have to do Kairach is only when both Matz and Mor are deraisa. Bezman hazeh, the Matz is deraisa, Mor is only derabanan, so you can't really be yaitzim with Kairach. So even Hillel wouldn't do Kairach bezman hazeh, but Afa Bichain, we still do it as a zeichel hamikdash. The Gemara lists off in a few places different mitzvahs that Chazal Mesaken to keep alive zeichel hamikdash, and again, those are mitzvahs es. There is a big tumult in the world of lomdas as to how to understand these dinim derabanan. The Brisker Rav is a famous vort that explains that there are really two different ways of understanding. Is pshat that because of the reason of zeich lemikdash, Chazal instituted certain mitzvahs derabanan, and now the mitzvahs take on their own lives. Now this is a mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav, and it's a mitzvah of Kairach, and it's a mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Is that the pshat? That because because of Zeich HaMikdash, therefore Chazal formulated this mitzvah derabanan, but once it's instituted, it's no different than any other mitzvah derabanan. Do I say no? That these are not really mitzvahs. There's no really mitzvah that tells lulav bezman hazeh kol shiva. There's no mitzvah sfiras ayim according to some rishonim bezman hazeh. The mitzvah is zeich lemikdash. You have to go through these motions to bring you to the mindset of zeich lemikdash. But at the end of the day, the name of the mitzvah is not tills lulav. The name of the mitzvah is not sfiras ayim. The name of the mitzvah is zeich lemikdash. So the Rav Kamin is nadin in this. Again, it's not a sugi right now, but again, it just puts things into the proper perspective, just how serious Chazal took this idea of zeich lemikdash. Meidich Gisa, the Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Tainis that Chazal also instituted a whole series of things that are done Zech L'Churban, that just as we do positive things to reenact what it was like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, we live our lives in certain ways, we know certain types of Avelos as Zech L'Churban to remind us of what we lost. So what kind of things should we do as Zech L'Churban? So the Gemara tells us at the end of the third Pekah of Baba Basra that at the time of the Churban, so there was a chilukah deis. There were different opinions in the Gedolei Yadam at the time. What kind of nihugim should we institute? What is appropriate to be noyeg as a zeich l'churban? What kind of a veil should we institute? So the Gemara tells us that there were a group of people who had a very, very extreme view as to what we should institute, because they felt that it would be completely insensitive for us to indulge in certain activities with Zman Hazeh, knowing that the Beis HaMikdash isn't built, knowing that the primary parts of the Beis HaMikdash was the HaKrovas HaKrobanos, and if you live at a time in the HaKrovas HaKrobanos, for you to do activities that show that you're indulging in those kinds of activities that are, in a sense, antithetical to the Mikdash, so that would not be appropriate. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, but he said, do a big shoe, there were a group of people who decided they're not going to eat any meat anymore, because meat is always associated with HaKrovas HaKrobanos, and it's not right for us to eat meat if the Rebbe Shalom Kaviyoch is not eating his meat. The Rebbe Shalom's table is empty, so it's not right that we should be indulging in eating meat. So therefore, there are a group of people who said you have to stop eating meat bisman achorban, and those same people said you have to stop drinking wine bisman achorban, because it would also be inappropriate since wine is an integral part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. You bring the nesachim and you sing shira on the nesachim, and none of that exists bisman hazeh. So therefore, we have to refrain from all of the above because of that would be a disgrace to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that the other Chachamim didn't think that that was right. They thought that that was a little bit too much. And they explained to the people that if you're really right, so then you should stop eating fruit also. Because fruit is brought as a bikurim, and you can't bring bikurim. So since you can't bring bikurim, it would be inappropriate to eat fruit. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Taka, those people said, you know what, we're going to stop eating fruit. And then the Gemara says, and the same people said that, then the Chum said to those people, you shouldn't eat bread, you shouldn't have cake, you shouldn't have cookies, because you can't bring korban menachos anymore. They said, yeah, Taka, right, we shouldn't do that either. So it's a good way to lose a lot of weight. You're not eating meat, not drinking wine, not having cookies, not having cake, not having fruit. We need soil all day. So then the Chum said to them, you should stop drinking water, because there's no nisach amayim anymore. So they said, wait a second, we can't do that. If it's not going to be, he's going to die. So the Chacham explained to them that although your Kavana was right, your basic idea was correct, but it's a little bit too far. The Ein Gozer Gezeira LaTzibur, which Ein HaTzibur Chacham La'amud Ba. It means you can't make Gezeiras on the Tzibur, things that the Tzibur can't do. So if you want instant Dirim Derabanan, so then you have to get a sense whether the Olam is up to observing those things or not. Sometimes this rule has been very, very grossly misquoted or misunderstood in the last couple of months. The din of Ein Gozer Gezeira LaTzibur Chol Rabbi Lamaba means that we as Chachamim are not supposed to make new gezeiras derabanan. We shouldn't make things difficult to people. If they're not going to keep it anyway, why should we stop making people into avayonim? So if Ein HaTzibur Chol Lamaba, so what are you going to do? But let's say when it comes to a din deraisa, so there's no such klal. Let's say it's a very, very hard din deraisa to keep. So we shouldn't tell people. Nobody should know. Nobody should keep halacha anymore. It's too hard not to drive a child. It's too hard not to check our phones on Shabbos. It's too hard not to eat tray for food. So we'll tell everyone they can do whatever they want because no, the answer is we hope that some people will listen to us. If you live in a situation where no one's going to listen, where mamash zero people are going to listen, so then there's a sugya in the Gemara about mutav shiur shayin, if they're really shayin. So there are sugyas, there are details in Allah when you say mutav shiur shayin or not. But when it comes to dinim deraisa, so then there's no such klal of ingozim gezeira. We're not making the gezeira. When we as a chum are enacting a new gezeira, so we should think a million times whether it's appropriate to make the gezeira. But if we're just simply reporting you what the din deraisa is, so that's the whole ingozim gezeira. That's what some people were accusing Rabbanim of being too strict in certain manners, by saying that ain't gozer gzeilat tzibur chol rabba. That's ridiculous. It depends. If we still want to make our own gezeiras to Rabbanan, that would actually be true. But if we're just reporting to you what the din deraisa is, if the din deraisa is X, that you have to do shemir saguf, and there's a din of b'guch nefesh, and sekaras nefashas, and even a safek, even a safek a miut. So if we're just telling you what the dinim deraisa are, the dinim deraisa are, you have to be careful about such and such, so you can't turn around and accuse the rabbis as being, you can't make gezeiras on the tzibur. The same way that the Rabbanan have to tell the oilam what chul shabbos is, what treifas is, they have to instruct the people. People are not well versed in what the dinim of pikuach nefesh are, so they have to be reinformed or informed for the first time what the hagdar of those halachas are. That's not called ein gozer gzeilat tzibur. That's a ridiculous application of that principle. Anyway, getting back to this story. So the Gemara tells us that fundamentally we can't really follow all these chumras because they're just pushing too hard. They're just impossible. So the Rishonim point out that it's true that they are really, really hard, but to a certain extent, even the Chachamim who didn't want to make life too difficult for the people, did institute a certain avelus for the Churban. For us to take the attitude that business as usual after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that's for sure not right. how you phrase it, how far you go, what the chumras are, what the kulas are, so that's a subject for discussion. So the Beis Din has to sit around and figure out what the oilim can take, what the oilim can't take. But the ikaron, to say that there's nothing, that so that would be a violation of tzion nidarish elah, not to misabel and shalayim at all, the Gemara says that would be a terrible tragedy. So therefore the Chacham did institute certain dinim derabanan as a zeichel mikdash, as a zeichel chorben. So what dinim did they institute? So that's what the Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Tainis, that they instituted a certain degrees of avelos in the days leading up to Tisha B'Av. Since Tisha B'Av is the day that's primarily related to the Chorban, that's the day of the actual Chorban itself. Well, the other Tainis had also to do with the Chorban, but the Ika Chorban was on the day of Tisha B'Av. So the other Chacham instituted in the days preceding, the days leading up to Tisha B'Av, certain degrees of avelos as well. What's considered to be the days leading up to Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara speaks about two different shiurim. The Gemara talks about what's called Shavush Echad Tisha B'Av, the week of Tisha B'Av itself, and then it's Machlokes HaTanaim, whether that means, let's say, Tisha B'Av is the beginning of the week. Does the avelos continue past Tisha B'Av? So we paskin Shavush Echad Tisha B'Av means until Tisha B'Av. We have been hugging with the day after Tisha B'Av for a different story. But the Shavush Echad Tisha B'Av means, let's say, this year, so Tisha B'Av is on a Thursday, so until Thursday. Let's say years when Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday, so it means until Tuesday, from Motzei Shabbos till Tuesday, that's Shavush Echad Tisha B'Av. There are only 4 days of the week that Tisha B'Av could fall out, either on a Shabbos when it's Nidcha, or it could actually fall out on a Sunday, or a Tuesday, or a Thursday. Just the way the calendar is set up, the first day Tisha B'Av is always the same day of the week as the first day Pesach, so the Bada Pesach, you can't have Pesach on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, so you can't have Tisha B'Av in those days either. So only four possible days that Tisha B'Av could fall out. So when Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos, and it's Nidcha to Sunday, so that's a machlekes in the poskim. Is there really a Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av? Because the days leading up to the week of Tisha B'Av, but Tisha B'Av is not going to be on Shabbos, Tisha B'Av is going to be on Sunday. So it could be there is no real Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. When Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday, there's for sure no Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. And the only times that Tisha B'Av falls out on any day we can discuss a Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av is Tuesday and Thursday. So one of those years happens to be this year. So we pass in Allah and that opinion Tanoim that there's a shear of Avelis from Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. So from Motzei Shabbos of preceding Tisha B'Av to Tisha B'Av, that's one chunk of Hilchos Avelis. Then the Gemara speaks about another chunk of Hilchos Avelis from Mishneh Nichnas Av, that even a few days before, from Mishneh Nichnas Av itself, that idea also appears in Chazal. The Isurim are not identical in those two things. There are certain things that are also only in the Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, and then there are certain things that are additionally, certain things that only that are also even in a Mishneh Nichnas Av, Mimatim B'Simcha. But the third category of Avelos that we're familiar with, the Avelos that begins with Shavuot B'Tamuz, we call the Ben HaMetzarim. The phrase, the 3 weeks, is a phrase that was made up in America. There was no such, to the best of my knowledge, that I don't know there's any halachic terminology called the 3 weeks. It's called the Ben HaMetzarim in the official Sifrei Pesach Halacha. But in America, the lingo has become the 3 weeks. The same way that the 9 days are a non-existent concept in halacha. From Rosh Chodesh Av, Mishneh Nichnas Av, Mimatim B'Simcha. But the phrase, the 9 days, somebody in the mountains made it up in a bungalow colony or something back in the 1950s. And those terms have stuck with us. So the period of Avelus of the Ben HaMetzarim of the 3 weeks, beginning with Shavuos B'Tamuz, that shear itself does not appear in the Gemara. That concept of observing certain halachas of Minhagim of Avelus from Shavuos B'Tamuz on, that is not Medina de Gemara at all. What has happened is that some of the things, some of the activities that Medina de Gemara were associated with later Avelus of Mishneh Nichnas Av or associated with Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av have been extended, have been brought back, starting all the way back from Shavuot B'Tamuz. That's what the Ramah writes, that the custom of the old Ashkenazi communities is that certain activities that Medina de Gemara usher in very, very limited amount of times, have now been extended all the way back to Shavuos B'Tamuz. So one of those examples is the Isra of Tisbaris, also Asap al-Chabes, that the din is that one's not supposed to get a haircut, Medina, during the Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. That's the Iker HaDin. That during Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, Tisbaris is off limits. So the Ramah writes that the Ashkenazi community has accepted that Isra all the way back from Shavuos B'Tamuz. So that niyug that we have is Beteris Minuk. One has to observe it. It's a Minuk at Tzibur. So one has to observe it, but that's not Mikra Adin. It's not a Beteris Minuk. So there was a big machlaikis in the Poskim as to how to understand this Minuk of Tisperis during the 3 weeks. So there was it's very lumdish machlaikis. I mean, how do you understand this idea that we have like a Minuk to observe Avelus? What does that mean, a Minuk to observe Avelus? So the Rav had a famous understanding that the Rav said that you don't have minhagim. This is not due in 3 weeks. It's a general mahalach in the Rav's mind about minhagim. Minhagim don't exist in a vacuum. The Rav all of a sudden says, minig Yisrael, the Jewish people just decides to adopt the following custom. A minig has to be ke'ena halacha. It means the Torah accepts halachic categories. So when you have a minig Yisrael, sometimes what the minig Yisrael is that we're going to treat the following action as the following halachic category. Even though it's not really technically that halachic category, we're going to make believe. We're going to be noyeg to observe the following halachic category. Let's say, Lamoshal, we have it by other cases as well. According to there's the Gemara Maseches Beitza talks about the observance of Yom Tov Sheni Bizman Hazeh. So the Gemara realizes right away that the whole reason for the original of practice of Yom Tov Sheni is not really doesn't really apply to Bizman Hazeh because we have a set calendar, we're not relying on the Shluchim anymore. So the whole rationale for Yom Tov Sheni doesn't really apply to Bizman Hazeh. So the Amoraim in Bavel had a Shiloh, what do we do now? Now that we're Yadidah B'Kvir Diyacha, we have a set calendar, we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, should we still observe Yom Tov Sheni or not? So the Gemara says they sent the Shiloh to Eretz Yisrael. And the Chabon Eretz Yisrael responded back, Yizar b'minig abiseichem, that still keep up the practice of Yom Tov Sheni. So there's a machlekes in Rishonim, when that phrase, Yizar b'minig abiseichem, does that mean it was a takanas hacham, that means Chazal Mesach, and is a formal din mid the Rabban of Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh, the same way that there were Mesach and Kriyas HaMegillah until Shadayim, and there's Chanukah, and after Shilin, it's a real mitzvah the Rabban of Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh, v'chol toikvay, that's what the Ran of Maseches Sukkah writes. Or do I say no? That the Gemara meant Yizar b'minig abaseichem. It's mamish b'toras minig. Now it doesn't mean you don't have to keep minogim if it's only a minig. So therefore you can be making one. No, no, no. Minigs are very, very serious. Al tita shtrasimechi. Not allowed to violate a minig, especially a minig Yisrael. That's nice of all klais and chutzlar. It's a very, very chamadik minig. Chazal took Yom Tov Sheni very, very seriously b'zban hazeh. But b'ikaron it's only b'toras minig. So if that's true, let's say according to those Rishonim, that's only b'toras minig b'zban hazeh. So we understand what the minig was. The minig was that we're going to take Tes Zayin Nisa. And we're going to say, this has Kedushas Yom Tov to it. Even though Midaraisa doesn't have Kedushas Yom Tov to it, and it wasn't even a Takhanas Chachamim that it's Kedushas Yom Tov, but the Minig Yisrael is that we're going to be knowing this as Kedushas Yom Tov. And therefore, there's an Issa Malacha, and therefore we can daven for Yom Tov, and therefore we have to eat matzah, we have to ben shlach, say hal, whatever the different dinim that emanate from having Kedushas Yom of Chag HaMatzah is. So sometimes when you have a minig Yisrael, the minig Yisrael was that we're going to be knowing a certain halachic category, even though the mechayev right now isn't really here, but it still takes on the parameters of that halachic category. So the Rav had that idea when it came to the quote unquote minhagim of the 3 weeks. But the Rav said that we're noyeg avelus. Very nice. Mishkach, we're noyeg. What does that mean? We're noyeg avelus. So that means we have to be knowing a certain halachic category of avelus. So we know there are certain. There are certain demarcations of halachic categories of Ilchus Avelus. There are halachas of Shiva, there are halachas of Shleishim, there are halachas of Yubis Chaydesh. There are different halachic categories of Avelus. So which one was this minig Yisrael of not getting haircuts? So the Rav said, it doesn't seem to be patterned if the Shiva, we're not walking around during the 3 weeks observing in Shiva. We'd be observing in Shiva. We'd be sitting on the floor. We'd have our shoes off. We wouldn't be sitting and learning. We'd be in a much, much more serious state of mind. And it doesn't even seem to be patterned after Shloshim. There are things that a person doesn't do during Shloshim that we do during the 3 weeks. So what category was this? It was Nishiva, Nishloshim. What was it? It must be it was Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the only category that's left. Chazal Misach had a special din of Avelus for a parent for Yud Beis Chodesh. So it must be that's the Avelus of the 3 weeks. But the Minig Yisrael was to treat the 3 weeks as if a person's in the year of Avelus. It's an awful for the whole, like Kilu is an awful on his parents for the entire year. That was what the Takana was all about. It's not such a foreign concept that we treat the Churban as being almost like an Avelus of a parent. The Gemara has a similar idea when it comes to Kriya, that there are dinim when you tear, person tears Kriya, so there are different halachas when you tear Kriya for a parent, are much more chomer than when you tear Kriya for a regular relative. So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Tainis is the Chazal Misach and Kriya for the Churban, that when you see the Mokha Mamikdash, they have to tear Kriya. We spoke about this in another shiur in the past, in the summers. So the Gemara says beferish that when you see the Mokha Mamikdash b'chobanoi, you have to tear Kriya. So Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that the Mokham HaMikdash B'Chavano still applies B'Zman HaZeh, because Kalzman is no Beis Hamikdash there. That's no Kol B'Chabana. The Gemara says that you have to tear Kriya when you see Arei Yehuda B'Chabana, Yerushalayim B'Chabana, and Mikdash B'Chabana. So Maisha explains that the din of tearing for Arei Yehuda means when they're not under Jewish control. When the din you have to tear for Old City B'Shalayim, that means when it's not under Jewish control. That's called B'Chabana. When it comes to the Makom HaMikdash, it's not a political question. It's a question of is the Beis Hamikdash there or not? If the Beis Hamikdash is there, that's not called B'Chabana. If the Beis Hamikdash is there, that's not B'Chabana. If it's not, that's called B'Chabana. That's what Moshe says as a split, that we don't tear Kriya for Ari Yehuda today, and we don't tear Kriya for the Rishalayim today. It's a guy who just goes to the Rover, never makes it down to the never sees the Kotel, so he doesn't have to tear Kriya. But if a person sees the Makom HaMikdash today, so you have to tear Kriya, because that's a different din. That's a function of lack of a Beis HaMikdash. So there's a din that you have to tear Kriya on the Makom HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that din of Kriya Makom HaMikdash is like Kriya for Aviv Imo. And there's all the Chumras of Aviv Imo. That's why there's a minig that when a person tears Kriya for a parent, so he tears on the left side, and he tears Kriya for a regular relative, he tears on the right side. Where did that minute come from? Because the Gemara says that when you tear for a regular relative, you just have to tear a tefach. When you tear for Av Imo, you have to tear achigalas liba. You have to tear enough that your whole heart gets, your whole front gets exposed. So the Gemara uses the phrase achigalas liba. He said, Yacharonim, in your Derech is right, that the lev is tilts a little bit to the left side, I don't know, the biology a little bit to the left side, so to speak. So therefore, the Kriya for Aviv Imo is always on the left side. So too, the Kriya for Makom HaMikdash is always on the left side for the same reason. And even in the world of the halachas, that's only a minute, but even in the world of halachas of Kriya, so the halachas of Kriya for the Beis HaMikdash is Ke'ein Kriya for Aviv Imo. So that model already exists in halacha. That model that we treat the Churban as being almost like the highest level of Avelus, the Avelus for a parent. So that's what the Rav explained, that the Avelus of the 3 weeks is Avelus of Aviv Imo, and that's the reason why you're not allowed to get a haircut. Why? Because the Gemara says in Ma'akotan that the dinim of Kriya in the end of Ma'akotan, not the end of times, I'm sorry, that the dinim of the 9 days, that's the end of times. Okay, I misquoted that. Ma'amachah before, sorry. So the Gemara says at the end of Maseches Ma'akotan that if a person is an oval for Aviv Imo, so they're not allowed to get a haircut at Shigaba Chaveirev. Normally, for a regular relative, once Shloshim is over, the game's over, you get a regular haircut. For Aviv Imo, you have to wait not only till Shloshim, you have to wait till the later point of Shigaba Chaveirev. After the person looks messy enough that people tell him that he looks like a mess, looks like a wreck, so then he's allowed to get a haircut when he's an oval for Aviv Imo. So that's what the Rav said. That's the Shia for haircuts during the 3 weeks as well. And when a person looks like a wreck, then he's allowed to get a haircut during the 3 weeks. The only thing is that usually doesn't happen. He usually gets a haircut right before the 3 weeks, and then by the time Tishbev comes, he still doesn't look so terrible. So in 3 weeks, most people don't look so terrible. So you never really reach the point of that you go over a chaver. So therefore, the din is, the minig is, you're not allowed to get a haircut during the 3 weeks. So that's what the Rav is, his famous kula. What about shaving during the 3 weeks? The Rav said it depends. If a person grows a beard, has a regular beard, so if he doesn't trim his beard for 3 weeks, it's not going to look so bad. It's not going to reach a chaver. But if a person shaves every day, and he doesn't shave for a day or two, he's already going to look like a mess. So a person doesn't shave for a couple of days, so then he's going to reach the point of his Ad Shigav HaVerif. So therefore the Rav explained that he thinks that it's mutter for a person to shave. A person who shaves all the time is permitted to shave during the 3 weeks because he's already reached the point of Ad Shigav HaVerif after a couple of days. That was the famous kula of the Rav. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein disagreed with this kula, because Rabbi Moshe understood that the whole background of the Rav, the Rabbi Moshe didn't really buy into. Rabbi Moshe says there was a minig Yisrael not to get haircuts, a kasha lemaisa. It doesn't have to fit into some brisket category. It's got to be this, got to be that, got to be another thing. He says there's a minig not to get haircuts. So shaving and cutting your hair on your face is considered to be like getting a haircut, and therefore one is not permitted to do so. The only thing is that Rabbi Moshe conceded that. And since it's only a minute, until Shavu Shechav, it's only a minute, therefore Moshe conceded that if it's a big tzairech, so one's allowed to violate a minute under very, very extenuating circumstances. What constitutes extenuating circumstances? So for Parnassah, Moshe writes this in other tshuvas as well, that if it's going to impact on a person's livelihood, a person has to go to a meeting, as a doctor, people are going to not going to want to deal with them, whatever it is, if it's going to impact on a person's Parnassah, one's not mechuyev to lose the Parnassah in order to observe a minute Yisrael. So one's allowed to violate, so to speak, this minhag. According to the Rav, I'm not violating the minhag. The minhag doesn't apply under these circumstances. But according to Rav Moshe, the minhag applies. It's just that I'm allowed to violate this minhag under these extenuating circumstances. It's like Moshe L'Modavadav, Rav Moshe's famous tshuva, the beginning of Baruch Chaim, about not wearing a yarmulke at work. So Rav Moshe says, if you live in a time, now most people, that doesn't apply for most people, but years ago, so it was very common practice that many, many from people, still some people today also, they don't wear yarmulkes at work because they feel that they think it's really going to detract from their parnasa. So Rav Moshe writes that if you really believe it's going to impact in your parnasa, then it's okay. It's only b'teres minig. And a minig doesn't have to be observed if it's a situation of extenuating financial loss. That's a common theme we find in Minhagim, that when you have a very, very extenuating circumstances, the Minhagim don't apply. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan had his famous Akula in the 1800s, where it was very, very hard to get food. I think we may have been enjoying the time, the potato famines or something, whatever it was. I'm not sure whether that lined up properly in terms of the time. Sometime in Europe, when there was apparently a big, very hard to get certain foods for Pesach, and the question was raised whether we can violate the minhagim of kidneys. So Yitzchak Ochanan was mekel, and the people were starving. They had nothing else to eat, and then they can eat rice, they can eat beans, they can eat other things. As long as they're clear of chametz, one can eat those kinds of things. Even Ashkenazim don't eat those things. That's only b'teres minhag. So the minhag can be violated when you have extenuating circumstances. So I invoked that kula this year for one person. Somebody called me from Eretz Yisrael, who was living in some far-flung place in Eretz Yisrael. They were an American who had gone Aliyah, and they were living in a community that was predominantly Svardim. And they called me a week before Pesach. It was total chaos. They couldn't get any food because it was everything was in lockdown. And the only stores they were allowed to go to was a store, Makolot, around the corner. And the Makolot around the corner was a little Svardim Makolot that had 99% of the food. There was all only the Ochle Kidneys. So the person had nothing to eat for Pesach. And they weren't allowed to go to a regular store. There were no stores that were open. So they called me, and Mamish had nothing to eat. So I told them that they're allowed to eat kidneys that year. I said, Mom, it's the same year Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan was making, the person not mechuyav to starve in Pesach. So as long as it's kosher for Sfardim, so then even an Ashkenazi would be permitted to eat those kinds of foods, that particular Pesach. Anyway, get back to this story. So one of the minhagim that we find in the poskim is this idea of haircuts and shaving, whether that's equivalent or not. Another minhag that we find about the 3 weeks is the idea of not getting married. It also appears explicitly in the poskim that one is not supposed to get married during this time. So the Magen Avraham writes that included in this idea of not getting married is also the idea of not having rikudim and mechilas and having dancing and singing, all kind of partying together. So that's also an extension of this idea. So it's that Magen Avraham that has become very controversial today. At what point, how far does that go? There's this idea that the minhag is not only against weddings, but it's against other kinds of celebrations, other kinds of party, other kinds of singing and dancing, other kinds of musical activities. So just exactly how far that goes. So Rav Moshe was asked this shaila about tape music, but not live music. So Rav Moshe was asked the old cassette tapes, but it's the same basic sparab as man as that. So they wanted to know from Rav Moshe, is it okay, listen to music on the radio, listen to cassettes, things like that. Those things are permissible during this time. So Rav Moshe had a fascinating approach to this shaila. Rav Moshe was machmer on this. Not everyone agreed, Rav Moshe was machmer on this. Based on the following, the Gemara tells us in the first Bech of Gittin that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Chazal made a takana that you're not supposed to have music in general. That it's not appropriate that music was man achorban. What?
Guilt is always
us. Right, right. Oh, that's right. It's part of the shuvah, right, right. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk for this, Bashir lo yishtu yayin. So there's machlekes of Rishonim, what exactly the significance of that pasuk is. So Tosfos and many of the Ashkenaz Rishonim held that the significance of that pasuk is that the Isra is really only be yayin. Bashir lo yishtu yayin. Now that I have music and wine together, that's the problem. But if it's just listening to music, not the context of wine or anything, so that's okay. That's what some Rishonim hold, and that's what the Ramah writes. At the end of the Chassidish book, the Ramah quotes that was the practice in our communities to be very lenient about this. As long as it's not yayin and song together, then it's okay. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, that's also all the time. To have musical instruments, that's also even without wine. That's also across the board. So Moshe writes in a tshuva that he thinks Mikra Din, the Rambam is right. That he thinks that the Mikra Din is that you should never have music all year long. Moshe writes, the Olam doesn't hold that way. They're a little bit more lenient about this. Moshe says, at least Chodesh, in the days of the 3 weeks, and then he throws in for Sfira Soimer for good law. He says, at least the days that are sad days in the Jewish calendar, at least for that, you should all strive to follow the Shittas Rambam, not to have any music whatsoever. And he thinks that tape music should be included in that as well. So there are those who question, who argue with Moshe and say, no, we don't follow the Rambam. We follow the Rambam. We follow the Tosfos. We follow that the Isser is only be Yayin, and therefore there's no Isser at all together. Eloah, there's a Midrash Yisrael not to have weddings, not to have dancing and celebrations and dancing and partying. Okay, so the Midrash is not to have dancing and partying, but Havdol Lo Sivadol, and I'm going to extend that to mean turning on a CD or something. That's not really the same thing. So that whole extension of Moshe was predicated on the fact that Moshe had the approach to music anyway, very, very chomedic approach, which others didn't accept. So those who didn't accept it maybe were going to be more mekel. So that's why there are different minhagim in Klai Yisrael today. There are some people who are machmir not to listen to music during the 3 weeks or during Sfira, and there are others who are mekel, so yesh v'yesh. In the later years, some people started to give lomdish achilukim and svaras, which I'm saying, the whole thing is a mamash, Lefini's idea, the whole topic is a bizarre topic. Pilpul about is it a cappella, is it good like music, yeah, like music. It's my get a flip a coin. I think it sounds like music, you think it doesn't sound like music. Who's going to be machriya such a thing? But that's called music. I thought it sounds like music. What's the difference whether it's an instrument? The computer is the instrument, so that's the halacha moshe. It's got to be an instrument, it's got to be a piano, so that's also an instrument. I don't know, I don't understand exactly what the svar is, but I don't understand why we should ask for everything in the first place. So those who want to be mekel on everything, we mekel on everything. Those who want to be machmir on everything, isn't they? Those who want to be mekel and a cappella, machmir on everything, do whatever you want. And the fear is that I can make a case for any of the above. So yesh v'yesh, some people are insist that not to listen to tape music, and others are a little bit more makel. This man is there. There is another practice that appears in the Shulchan Aruch concerning the 3 weeks, which is not really a velus proper.
Yeah.
That's other svaras. Some say the Gemara is about that a little bit.
We're working for the wood stuff.
Yeah, the woodworkers. Yeah. The Gemara is about that. So some will make a lot of it. Not. You know, I don't think you need to find such great. It's not in the huckle by the tape music. It's fine with her anyway. But if this guy's driving and he's falling asleep in the car, so he needs it. Or his kids are driving crazy in the car, and he needs to put some music to keep them quiet. You know, those kinds of things are definitely grounds of the huckle. There is another practice that appears in Shulchan Aruch in the dinim and rabbah in the 3 weeks. That's not really a velus proper. Is that there's a practice not to say Shechiyonu during the 3 weeks. So this is not really a verse. An awful lot to say Shechiyonu. But why do you say Shechiyonu for the 3 weeks? Because it says Shechiyonu, keep on yelling as well as that. Thank you, Rebbeinu Shalom, for giving me the great opportunity to be alive, to reach this time. This time, this is a terrible, this is a miserable time. It's a tragic time in the Jewish calendar. So you don't want to be Meshabech, Rebbeinu Shalom. Thank you, Rebbeinu Shalom, for this time. It's not appropriate to say that. So therefore, the minhag is that you don't say Shechiyonu during this time. What would that mean? What does that translate to mean? So the different activities that we usually associate with Shechiyonu would therefore be off limits. So one shouldn't eat a pre-chodesh, one shouldn't eat a new fruit, because eating a new fruit will necessitate a Shechiyonu. It's not right to say Shechiyonu, so you should refrain from eating a new fruit. Well, let's say Kone Kelim Chadosh, a person buys new articles, new clothing, things like that, that would require a Shechiyonu. So if you can follow this minhag of not saying Shechiyonu, then you should refrain from these kind of activities. So there's machlekes the poskim whether this minhag applies to Shabbos also. Shabbos is like everything, so you can say Shechiyonu and Gilel Zman Hazeh. So that's a question. So the question is whether any of this really applies to Zman Hazeh for the following reasons. That the two activities that are singled out in the poskim that necessitate Shechiyonu based on the Gemara's and the Nine Pekim Maseches Brachas, so it could be that neither of them really know you Zman Hazeh. The issue of a pre-chodosh is a highly questionable whether one makes Shechiyonu a new fruit as well as that. Why is that? So Rabbi Shah writes in his Tshuvas that making Shechiyonu a new fruit is, if you live in a place where there are certain seasons and your mamish can't get a fruit, so I couldn't get a peach for the last 6 months. I couldn't get a cherry for the last 6 months. Wow, it's a simcha. What a gewaltige simcha. That's a eicha prichodesh. So you recite a Shechiyonu on that. The Gemara says that the Shechiyonu or prichodesh is not a chiyuv. It's b'teres rishus. You have a right to say Shechiyonu. You're not a mechuyev. You have to say a Shechiyonu one. Certain mitzvahs require Shechiyonu. Certain yom tovim require Shechiyonu, etc. So the Shechiyonu on a new fruit is a hetter. It's a rishus of a Shechiyonu. It's a nice thing to do, but you know, it's not an absolute chiyuv. So Rav Moshe writes that that saying Shechiyon are new fruit only makes sense when you live in a place where the new fruits are not accessible all year long. Rav Moshe writes, you go to any fruit store, you get anything you want. You get your fruits from New Zealand, get from the Southern Hemisphere, the Northern Hemisphere, you can get from wherever you want. Any kind of fruit is available for the right price. You can get anything. You can go to the store and buy those bizarre, crazy cuckoo fruits for pay enough money. You can get anything. So Rav Moshe writes, there's no great simcha. A guy sits down and has a peach for the first time. You can have a peach in the middle of January also if you want to. So the whole idea of getting a new fruit bizmanazah is very, very shaky. So what Moshe says, well, it's better probably not to make shechiyonah. This draws into a whole to-do for Tu B'Shvat and for second night of Rosh Hashanah for the following reason. So Tu B'Shvat, there's a famous minhag to have fruit on Tu B'Shvat. It's a famous minhag. Who started this minhag of having fruit on Tu B'Shvat? So there's one line in the Mishnah Berurah about Tu B'Shvat. And the Rama writes, lists off in Chelek Beis in Mishnah Berurah about which days of the year we don't say Tachanun. So the Mishnah Rama writes, there are a few days that are these quasi-Yom Tov, not really days of Simcha. There are some days that are real days of Simcha, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, those are the real McCoy days. Then you have a whole bunch of these half-baked Yom Tov that slipped into the Jewish calendar, that our entire observance of these Menachim is not to say Tachanun. So Rama writes, we don't say Tachanun on Tu B'Av, we don't say Tachanun on Boimeh, we don't say these days are not really as odd days of Simcha. And we don't say Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat. So Rosh Hashanah Ilana, so somehow we're happy with the Ilana, so we don't say Shechiyanu on, we don't say Tachanun Tu B'Shvat. That is the entire presentation in Shulchan Aruch of the significance of Tu B'Shvat. There are loads of dinim that are relevant to Tu B'Shvat in Yor HaDeah and the dinim of Mitzvah Tlis Baretz, in terms of Vichus Arl and Maisa. There's a lot of dinim, but in terms of what a Jew, an average person, should be doing in Bergenfield on Tu B'Shvat, so the entire presentation in the Ramah is not to say Tachman. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds on to that and he says that in some communities, in the Ashkenazi communities, I think he means the German communities. When he used the word Ashkenazi, he meant, I think, German, if I'm not mistaken. He meant some of the Beriyakis, some of the Germans, have a custom to Ochlin Peiris with Tu B'Shvat. They eat some fruit, some extra fruit on Tu B'Shvat. So that's the Zeichet, the Mashad Lilonus. That's the extent of Tu B'Shvat in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah did not live 500 years ago. The Mishnah Berurah lived 100 years ago. That was his entire Hakol Mikol Kol description of the celebration of Tu B'Shvat. He didn't have a Tu B'Shvat Seder. He didn't plant trees. He didn't do a million things. He didn't have parades. He didn't have parties. He just simply had, he said, if you want to eat a grape, matoiv, that would be the great celebration of Tu B'Shvat. So it became in our community, somehow became this idea of eating a lot of new fruit and a lot of these things. It's nice, it's cute. You have to know what's important, what's not important. It's a nice thing, good, very good. Those who like to do it, matoiv. I also take a nice little extra fruit on Tu B'Shvat, matoiv. So many people like to make a shechiyonah on the fruits on Tu B'Shvat. So that's a big question. According to Rav Moshe, you can't say shechiyonah. According to Rav Moshe, you cannot make shechiyonah on fruits on the Mamas Neschadish, which in America we don't really have. The other time during the year when making shechiyonah on new fruit became such a to-do, that's on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. Why was that? Because there was machlekes and rishonim whether you should say shechiyonah on the second night yontif. On a regular yontif sheni, we do say shechiyonah, but on Rosh Hashanah, some rishonim raised the red flag because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaRichter. The Gemara says in the beginning of Masechus Beitza that Chazal, for technical reasons, instituted the Yontif Sheni of Rosh Hashanah different than the regular Yontif Sheni. So it's considered to be Kedusha Achas. That is Nafka Midas and Uchas Beitza, Shnol to be Yontif, Mukta, etc. So we view the 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah as almost like one long, long, long day. So some Rishonim say, oh, if it's a long, long day, so then you can't say two Shechianas. You just say Shechianas the first night, you don't say Shechianas by the second night Kiddush. You only say Shechianas by the first day at Kishofa, not by the second day at Kishofa. This year it's not relevant because this year the first day of Shabbos. So other Rishonim say, Mabitom, the Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaRichter, like Abi Muktzah and other things, but not like Abi Tfilas. You don't say, well, I daven Musaf yesterday, why daven Musaf today? I had my Suda yesterday, why have a Suda today? That's ridiculous. You don't say Yom HaRichter, like Abi most of the halachas of Yom Tif. So therefore, you don't say it like Abi Shechiyonu also. So we pass the Nikra in like the second group of Rishonim. But you say Shechiyonu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, no matter what. And in deference to the first view, we have a practice that when we make Kiddush on the second night Rosh Hashanah, either you try to wear a new garment or you try to have a pre-chadash in front of you. So that's a common practice. People like to have a new fruit on the table for the second night Rosh Hashanah for the quote unquote the Shechiyonah fruit. So when you make Shechiyonah by Kiddush, you have in mind on the new fruit as well, just in case, according to those Rishonim. That was a practice already in Rishonim. Maharam Rutenberg already established this practice. This practice is not like Halacha Mashiach, it's not the end of the world, and it probably doesn't work anyway because our new fruits are probably not really good enough for new fruit Shechiyonah anyway. So this is not such a big deal. People get so to hits to Rosh Hashanah that they don't have the new fruit on the table, they think they're going to Chalila not be Nigzal Chaim Toivim Barukim. It's not the end of the world. We don't have a new fruit. There was an article in the New York Times a couple of years ago about the whole business of a new fruit on Rosh Hashanah. The article about how people spend $20, $30 to get these exotic, crazy, where everyone's got the, it's like, it became a shtick. You have to get the fancy. It's like Purim Shachmanos. You have to have come up with a theme. You have to go up with a fancier new fruit than last year, a fancier new fruit than your neighbors. So there was a mamash that made it to the New York Times. It's nonsense. You're going to spend a lot of money on, you give the money to tzedakah. What do you need? Just to be yaitzeh shechiyonah on something which we hold meeker, then you can't even make shechiyonah on anyway. And we hold that you don't even need anyway because you make shechiyonah on the yontif anyway. It's nonsense. People made up this idea that they run around buying a new fancy schmancy new fruits on, for the quote unquote shechiyonah of Rosh Hashanah. There's another practice that Shulchan Aruch writes in the 3 weeks that you shouldn't wear new clothing also because of the same concern of the Shechiyonah. So here also it could be this doesn't apply for Zman Hazeh. So here the Rav said that he wasn't so sure that you ever make Shechiyonah on clothing today. Why? You make Shechiyonah on clothing, Chadashim, the Gemara says, when you're really excited about it. When was the last time you got so excited? You bought a new suit. You got so excited. Whenever there's a suit lady has selling you suits, you buy a new suit. Whenever there's a deal, so you buy a new suit. People get so excited about buying a new suit. People get so excited when they buy a new shirt thing. A guy buys a new belt. He gets so excited. We all get so excited about these things. So you don't say Shechiyonah on these kinds of things, Bizmanazah, most probably. So if you're not making Shechiyonah on these things anyway, so then what's the problem? So you're allowed to buy them. There's a din, maybe in the next year we'll talk about more about the 9 days in Shulchan Aruch Chalbo about new clothing. That's a different part. That's part of the also the Sapel Chabes. That's part of Kibbutz. That's a different story. But between now and Rosh Chodesh Av, so there's no Isser per se of new clothing. The Isser is not to say Shechiyonah, but if I'm anyway not making Shechiyonah, so what's the problem? So these different minhagim that we have during the 3 weeks, some of them are rooted in Zechel Mikdash Mamish, some of them are rooted in the sense of Hail Zechel Churban, some of them are rooted in the idea that we don't want to highlight that it's less manas, eh? And then there's a third practice that's also recorded in the poskim about not doing things that are dangerous. The person should be extra cautious, extra careful during these times of the year because these are not such good times. These are manas, eh? We don't want to violate los onav, los nachashu. So mechash be a boy. You have to just be a little extra careful, extra cautious during these times of the year. So since this is the time anyway that people should be hopefully a little bit more cautious in general about the health and about safety and general well-being. So it's kal v'chomer during this time of the year. People should be a little bit extra specially careful. We don't want to drive everybody crazy or make everybody neurotic, but people should be extra careful. A little bit extra careful. Anyway, they should be extra careful now. So I want you to be a little bit extra cautious during this time as well. Okay, so we had a chance to overview a little bit in terms of some of the sugyas of related to the 3 weeks, and then hopefully next time, hopefully maybe about a mikdash, we won't finish this year anymore, but maybe we'll try to focus on the next time. So maybe next Sunday morning we'll have part two. It'll be about some of the halacha, will be closer to Rosh Chodesh Av, a little bit more about the minhagim and the dinim that enter in as we get closer to in terms of from Rosh Chodesh Av, and then in terms of the actual Shavuot Shechabo as well. So next week we'll try to continue this series of shiurim. Okay, in terms of the regular shiurim, so regular shiurim mitzvah tomorrow, we rack on a regular normal seder slot, and mitzvah will continue from there. Okay, wish everybody well. Take care.